We do have some programming changes this month. Midweek Manna is on hiatus for a couple of weeks, and yoga has also been on hiatus for a few weeks. If you're not a Facebook person, Jenny and Matt have been posting lots of pictures of their trip, and I think we may have an Arizona Wildcat in our future. That seems to be where Caleb really liked on their college visit. So they send their love back to everyone and have had a really good trip while they've been out of town. This morning we continue our series of the preaching series on folk music. We have this morning Simon and Garfunkel are the artists we will hear from. You reach a very interesting place in your relationship with your congregation when someone asks you, "Oh, Simon and Garfunkel, Mrs. Robinson?" No. Let me just tell you now, no. If you have not been joining us, I hope you will plan to join us next Sunday for Sunday School. We have been having a fantastic conversation this month. We are focusing on a very open conversation about issues facing and surrounding the LGBTQIA+ community. Next week, we are going to have two visitors. We are going to have two transgender young adults who are going to join us and share about their experiences and about some of the things that they face in this life and some of the wisdom they can impart to us. They are both fantastic people and courageous kids, and I hope you will make plans to join us for that conversation next week, Sunday School at 9 o'clock. We have also extended this Sunday School for one more week, so we will gather again on the 25th of this month to kind of wrap up our conversation and bring together any questions or ideas that have come up during the month. So I hope you'll make plans to join us for that. Friends, time is upon us and the Spirit is around us. So let us still our hearts, prepare our hearts. Together we worship God.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship found in the bulletin. Strength is commanding the wind and sea to obey. Hope is staying in the boat. Strength is standing in solidarity with the powerless. Faith is still staying in rough weather. Strength is turning a cheek. Grace is loving an enemy. We come to worship a God who redefines our vision of strength, hope, faith, and grace. Praise the God who is with us in the boat. Almighty God, who speaks a word of peace to calm our troubled sea. Caring God, who nudges us away from fear and toward faith. Ever-present God, who fills us with awe, but also raises many questions without easy answers. Open our eyes to see you in our boat today. Strengthen our hearts for the challenges that lie ahead. Open our ears this hour to hear the word you speak. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And hear these words of confession. Brothers and sisters, nothing we can say or do can ever separate us from God's mercy and love. The gifts of God are eternal and will never be withdrawn. God's ultimate desire and purpose are to punish, not to forgive. So together we may pray with hope, not fear. And let us pray together. Merciful God, when lashed by life's windstorms, we often lash out in return. Forgive us when we blame you or others for our troubles. Teach us to find you in the eye of the storm. Show us the calm center that comes from a world of peace.
Through the waters of creation that God brought order and life into the world. Through the sea that God brought the people to liberation and freedom. Through the waters of the Jordan, God led the people to a promised land. So it is through the waters of baptism that God draws us in and marks us as God's own. Friends, remember this. The promise made at your baptism is as true today as it was then. We are Christ's, now and forever. So friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are indeed forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. Well, as I mentioned in the announcements this morning, our selection from the folk music series is a song from Simon and Garfunkel. The song is America. It is one of their most critically acclaimed songs, released in 1968. It's one of their last number one hits before they broke up as a duo. There's a note in your bulletin that tells you a little bit about it. This is a Paul Simon creation. He wrote it about a road trip he took with his girlfriend in 1964. But released the song in 1968, and its resonance will hopefully make sense to you in a little bit about why that date matters so much. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds as your word is read and proclaimed, it may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke 8, verses 22 to 25. Listen now for the word of the Lord. One day, Jesus and his disciples boarded a boat. He said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they set sail. While they were sailing, he fell asleep. Gale force winds swept down on the lake. The boat was filling up with water and they were in danger. So they went and woke Jesus shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." But he got up and gave orders to the wind and the violent waves. The storm died down and it was calm. And he said to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" Filled with awe and wonder, they said to each other, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak. And listen at all times, speak to us as only you can, in the silence of our hearts. Amen. My very first car was a 1979 Oldsmobile Cutlass Cruiser station wagon. It had silver paint, fake wood paneling, and a Razorback red interior. And on the back of it were two bumper stickers. One said, "On the eighth day, God created the Razorbacks." And the other read, "I've been to Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch. How about you?" I've actually stopped in Tennessee a couple times to see if I couldn't find another one of those Loretta Lynn bumper stickers. I actually love bumper stickers. I have more bumper stickers in more places than I can possibly count. I don't put many on my truck. Most of the ones in my truck are church-related, Westover Hills, Montreat, Ferncliff, things like that. But I do love reading bumper stickers on people's cars when I'm in traffic or the drive-thru or the gas station. One time on a trip back from North Carolina, I stopped in Tennessee somewhere to get gas, and the car in front of me at the gas pump had a bumper sticker on the back that I'll never forget. It said in great big bold letters, "Jesus is my co-pilot." Took me a minute. Jesus is my co-pilot. It's a pretty innocuous statement. I couldn't figure out why it was bothering me so much. Finally, it dawned on me. If Jesus is your co-pilot, you really need to switch seats. There's no reason under the sun for me to doubt the sincerity or the faith of the person who had that bumper sticker on their car. I'm sure they made it as a statement of their faith in Jesus. But no matter how much I parse that bumper sticker, I got to move Jesus to the other seat. Those words stuck with me, I think, because they sum up one of the most important and most telling troubles in the world, the church, and our individual lives. We are happy to let Jesus sit in the number two seat, but we're the ones flying the plane. Especially in times of fear or anxiety, we want to take the wheel back in hand. Something like that is happening in this retelling of the story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee we had this morning from Luke's Gospel. This is one of the few texts that appears in all three synoptic Gospels almost identically. We don't rank the stories of Jesus based on whether they appear one, two, or three times in the synoptic Gospels. But you have to give a little bit of weight to the fact that this story had such purchase and such persuasion in the early church that all three of these writers at different times with different agendas picked this story to make it in there. The story itself is really simple. Jesus and his disciples are by the lake. There's a boat. They get in it. Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side." So they set off. A storm comes up. The disciples panic. They wake up Jesus, and Jesus calms the storm and says to them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples are in awe and wonder of the power of Christ in that moment. And for good reason. If you've ever been out on the lake in a boat, when a storm comes up, it can be terrifying. Like all the stories of Jesus, this one has multiple doors we could walk through this morning. So I invite you this morning to enter with me through one particular of those doors, through Jesus' words to the disciples. Where is your faith? What is Jesus really asking them in that question? It seems like an odd time for a quiz on the catechism. It's also an odd time to try to start a theological conversation. In the rapid clip of the stories telling Jesus' words, they sound a bit abrupt in this story, and I imagine in the moment they sounded even more abrupt to those disciples. They beg Jesus to save them, and he snaps at them. Now, with those of us with our feet firmly planted on the ground, it's easy to take Jesus' side in the story, but you have to give a little sympathy to those poor disciples. This was not a gentle rocking of the boat. This was not a little choppiness in the water. This was a full-blown, we never saw it coming, it appeared from behind Sugarloaf Mountain storm on Greer's Ferry Lake, if ever there was one. Perhaps the best depiction of this story in all of art is Rembrandt's Storm on the Sea of Galilee, the brilliant painting that was stolen about 3 decades ago from the Gardner Museum in Boston. It's a seminal piece from Rembrandt's catalog. And in it, he captures the force of this storm and the waves as they're crashing around the boat. You look at that painting and you can almost feel what the disciples were feeling in that moment. The storm was raging around them. It was raging and they could not stop it. And their little boat was taking on water and Jesus was asleep. Waking him up and asking him for a little help hardly seems like a big ask. So why the terse reply from Jesus? Why does he snap back at them the way he does? To answer that, I think we have to remember two fundamental things about Scripture. First, the presence of Jesus and the words of Jesus always, always, always have real meaning in the text. They are never there as a throwaway. Jesus is never a character whose only job is to help the story along. He's always the point of the story. If Jesus is present and Jesus is speaking, we need to listen. So our question still abides. What does Jesus mean when he rebukes them saying, "Where is your faith?" Now, remember back to our bumper sticker, "Jesus is my co-pilot." In the boat, in that moment, it's not hard to imagine those disciples fighting over who was going to pilot the boat. I can see them in my mind's eye wrestling with one another to get hold of the rudder and try to steer themselves back to shore. You notice in the story they never ask Jesus to steer the ship. They simply ask him to stop the storm. They're going to continue to decide where the ship goes. They've got the direction under control, they think. Jesus, though, is in charge of paving the way, of calming the seas, of changing the conditions of the journey. And it's in that moment when the disciples wake him up, and Jesus sees them in their panic, wrestling with one another, trying to grab onto the sail, trying to grab onto the rudder, that he realizes that they have lost faith in the important thing in that moment. And that thing is not merely Jesus, because this is not just a story about faith in Jesus. It's about having faith in this particular moment, in the direction that Jesus has sent them. there in their little boat, heading off in the direction Jesus has told them to travel. The disciples are more than willing to keep the ship heading in the direction that Jesus tells them until the storm starts. When the wind picks up and the waves start crashing, those disciples begin to long for the familiarity of the shore that they know rather than the far side of the lake where Jesus has pointed them. So tossed and torn by the storm, they take back the wheel, they seize on the rudder, and they try to steer the ship where they believe it needs to go. And it's in that moment, when Jesus wakes up and says, "Have you no faith?" It's then that we realize that what the disciples have lost faith in is the wisdom of the direction that Jesus has them sailing. You see, as long as the seas were calm, they were fine with Jesus' unknown future. But once those waves started rocking, and once that wind started blowing, and once that ship started getting tossed about on that sea, those disciples started looking around for any familiar port in the storm. They started trying to sail back the way they came from and give up on the shore Jesus was sending them to. In times of fear and anxiety and chaos, the familiar, the nostalgic, can be a balm to our weary souls. And whether it's in our individual lives or our collective conscience, we almost instinctively look toward those familiar places in the world around us. It feels some days like the Sea of Galilee has sneaked up on us, doesn't it? Like we're in that boat, those waves have started rocking on us. The song I picked for the series this morning is one that was written for just such a moment as this. Paul Simon wrote it in the early 1960s in the tumult of the civil rights movement just after John Kennedy's assassination. It's a story of a couple who go on a road trip to find the real America. He wrote the song about a trip that he and his girlfriend Kathy Chitty took in 1964, but the song itself, as I said earlier, was not released until 1968. You see, it tells the story of a young couple who get on a Greyhound bus full of optimism, embarking on their road trip to find America. And the lyrics begin with those wonderful, hopeful words, "Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together." They buy cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner's pies and set off on their trip. As the miles pass and the days go on, the song begins to change a little. Starts to become a little more melancholy, a little more somber. So by the end, it takes on a decidedly pessimistic mood as the narrator sings, "I am empty and aching and don't know why." He goes on to talk about all the cars anonymously driving by on the Jersey Turnpike, all of them filled with people looking for America. It's interesting the song was released in 1968. 1968 was, by all accounts, one of the pivotal years in American history, certainly a pivotal year in modern American history. In January, the Battle of Khe Sanh and the Tet Offensive in Vietnam led even the most hawkish of Americans to doubt the wisdom of the war. The photograph of a South Vietnamese police chief summarily executing a Viet Cong soldier on the streets made its way to America's front pages, making people profoundly question who we were becoming as a people. In April in Memphis, Martin Luther King fell to an assassin's bullet. In June in Los Angeles, Bobby Kennedy did. By fall, the Prague Spring and the Polish labor movements had been put down by Russian tanks rolling through the streets. The storms were raging and raging, and many Americans found themselves in those final lines of Paul Simon's song, anonymously driving the roads, trying to find the real America, the one they thought they had known but could not see anymore.
Storms like the one that day on the Sea of Galilee are not at all uncommon in our lives. And in those moments, Jesus looks at us in our panic and in our worry and in our fear and in our anxiety and says to us, "Have you no faith?" As with the disciples, Jesus is not questioning whether we have faith in Him in particular. Instead, He's asking, "Do you not have faith in the destination I have given you? Do you not have faith in the course on which I have put you in this life? Do you not have faith that I will lead you to a place of life, not a place of death?" And just as He did not allow the boat to be swamped in the Sea of Galilee that day, He will not allow ours to be swamped now if we but have the faith to let Jesus take the wheel and steer the course for us. In this life, faith, Jesus reminds us, leads us to a place of abundance and life. Now you notice there's no guarantee there won't be any storms. When Jesus sets out with His disciples that day, He did not say to them, "Let's sail to the far side of the lake and don't worry, it's going to be easy sailing the whole way." Smooth sailing was not part of the arrangement then, and it is not part of the arrangement now. Jesus has never promised calm, eternal seas for us in our travel in this life. Perhaps a better song for this morning would have been Lynn Anderson's 1970 hit, "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden." Friends, Jesus has individually and collectively set us on a path toward life and life abundant. It's not a path that guarantees us no rough patches. It is not a path that guarantees us no storm clouds. It is not a path that guarantees us no pain. It is a path that guarantees us only that on the far shore we will find eternal life. The eternal life that can be found in our resurrected Lord alone. So the question for us, friends, is this: do we have the faith to let Jesus steer the course for us? Will we trust in His judgment rather than our own? Put our faith in His ethic of love rather than the world's ethic of power? Put our faith in His promise of life rather than the world's fear of death? Will we trust that when the storms are raging and when the winds are blowing, when the waves are crashing, Jesus still, always, each and every day for each and every one of us, has His hand on the wheel and steers us toward that promised shore? It's a question for us in our living and a question for us in our life together as the people of God in this place. Because, friends, I believe God has great things in store for us. And I believe God is giving us great opportunities for faithful living in service and in care for one another, for our neighbors, and for our God. So my hope for us this morning is that we will find the faith to not only trust the journey, but the one who set the destination. So that today and every day, we might make our prayer, "Jesus, take the wheel. Alleluia, alleluia, amen."
We have a question and we have some answers. Please join me in the affirmation of faith. Do we believe?
Yes.
In spite of ourselves, we do believe. While some follow fad and fashion, changing with the seasons in Paris, London, and New York, we follow the man from Nazareth. While some put their hope in a big lotto win or chase profits at no matter what cost to family, we love our hope in loving one another as our Christ has loved us. While some may give in to a sophisticated cynicism, or some fall into apathy or despair, we put our faith in the God who has given us God's only true Son. While some may boast of their superior education, culture, race, or living standard, we boast in the self-giving of that Son on a cross. While some try to justify themselves by prizing fame or power, or by claiming superior morals, we allow the grace of our Lord Jesus to be our best prize. Because of Jesus, yes, we believe in the living God, by whose Holy Spirit all things are open to change and renewal. And that includes us and the church. Thanks be to God.
Friends, I'd remind you that we continue to receive the offering for Women and Children First, which is the program that provides fresh fruit during the summer. If you would like to give to that, you may include that with your offering if you like. As we bring our offerings forward today, friends, you will find the offering boxes in the front of the intermediate aisles of the church. Friends, let us bring our tithes and our offerings to God. you prepare to go to God in the word of prayer, there are a couple of pastoral care concerns I would like to lift up to you this morning. The first is that after being a few days in the hospital, on Friday, Andrea Campbell moved home and under hospice care. So I hope you'll please keep Donald and Andrea and their family in your prayers. Also, many of you are aware that last Sunday, the General Assembly Assistant City Clerk that I work with so closely on my General Assembly Committee became a grandfather unexpectedly. And this week we have learned that the defect in the child's heart was more complicated than the doctors thought, and they are unable to do anything to repair it. So the family is taking what time they are able to be with little Evan, and I hope you will keep Tim and Sherry and their family in your prayers. Friends, let's turn to God in prayer if we may. Let's pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Mary and Martha, and when the woman at the well, whose name we will never know, your presence reaches into every life, into every part of creation. So we know that wherever we are with you. And where we are with you, we know you will hear our prayers. So hear us this morning, O God, as we pray from this community of faith. Some of us arrived here, O God, in boats on calm seas, sailing into port like it was nothing. For those days we give you thanks. For those moments when you give us the calm and the peace to catch our breath and to take stock, to be present for those who need us. Some of us pulled in on choppy waters today, tossed around by storms not of our own making and sometimes by storms of our own making. We give you thanks, O God, in knowing that in those moments when our seas are choppy, your presence is very real with us, both in the person of our Savior Jesus Christ, our constant companion and guide, but also in the voice and the heart of the body of Christ in the world, your church. It has become almost cliche, O God, for us to say that we live in troubled times. When haven't we? But even in the troubles, we find hope. We find hope in the smile of an infant who does not know what fate awaits him, but knows only the embrace of his mother's arms. We find hope in families that endure great hardship, but endure it together. We find it in this place where we come to gather, to sing, to pray, to laugh, to cry. This place where we may come in all of our imperfections to give thanks for your wonder and your grace. And because, O God, all of these things are true, we may pray and pray boldly for the world around us, for the people near and far. So hear our prayers, O God, for your church in every place, For people of faith and goodwill who do not share our beliefs but share our hopes for a better world. For those who would seek to lead us for those who are lost, and for those who are found, for those who hope, and those who weep, for those who laugh, for those who hurt. We pray especially for those whose pain is known only to you in their silence. May they always know they are never alone. We name these things before you, O God, in the hope and promise of the one who sets us out to the distant shore, to the place of promise and hope, to a land flowing with milk and honey, yes, but also a land teeming with resurrection hope. We pray all these things in the name of the one who is with us in every storm, who taught us when we gather to pray and pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and keep us. In this